In the name of one God who creates us, redeems us, and sustains us. Amen. Glad to see a few more of you made it in once the final score happened. I'm heartbroken, but I'm going to preach anyway. I just want you to know. So several years ago, I almost had a fight in the vesting room before a service. I will not be naming names, but two of the associates had it out with each other as one gave a spoiler alert for a current blockbuster that was playing, and the other had not yet had a chance to see it. After that, we had to instate the staff spoiler alert rule, in which a film could only be talked about with spoilers after it had left the theater, at which point it was in fair play. Now, I have two things on that. First, getting one's dander up before worship is not recommended. It is not a good, faithful way to enter into worship. We worked through it. It was a good learning lesson. But second, this memory has played in my head all week because this gospel is a complete spoiler alert. I mean, look at the first line we have here. Now, the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. What are you talking about? Christmas Eve is when we get the end of the story that we've been building up to. Why are we hearing it today? Now? No. You're going to say, Reverend Rachel, the story has been around more than 2,000 years, so it's definitely left the theaters and is in fair play. But it still seems odd. Shouldn't the gospel reading today have stopped at the end where the writer of the Gospel of Matthew quotes the prophet Isaiah? All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. They could have stopped right there. I mean, seriously. I mean, with telling us that Jesus gets born, our Christmas Eve service is practically ruined, right? I mean, how many of you are going to come now that you know the end of the story? Just in case you're getting anxious, Christmas services will not be canceled this year. Will not, not because of today's gospel spoiler or a virus or anything else. Christmas services will be happening. But it still leaves us with the question, why is this gospel reading put in here today, the very last Sunday before we gather to hear the birth of Jesus? On that evening when we'll celebrate angels and shepherds and Joseph and Mary and a star shining brightly in the sky and we're going to sing Silent Night and all will be so beautiful, why give it away on Advent 4? Well, besides the fact that some of you may not be here on Christmas Eve and we want to be sure that you all know the true reason for the season, there are some important elements of Jesus' birth that we hear in today's narrative that we'd never hear in on our Christmas Eve readings. Although, because it's well constructed, you do see these included in our pageant tonight at 5:00. So, just saying. So today we get the story of Joseph. Good Joseph, righteous Joseph. Joseph, who comes from the line of David, and in fact, we start at Matthew 1:18 because Matthew 1 through about 17 is all the begats. So-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so, and the reason we have that in there is it shows lineage, but we'll get that to that in a minute. Righteous Joseph, a follower of God. He's so righteous that when he hears Mary is pregnant, he wants to divorce her quietly to preserve her name as well as his. And he puts together a plan, he feels good about it, and he goes to sleep. And then, just like with Mary, an angel appears. And in his dream, the angel tells Joseph exactly what has happened with Mary, and gives Joseph God's instructions for Joseph. You see, righteous Joseph had good plans, but with a sleep and a dream, his life changes, just like Mary's. And he doesn't divorce Mary. He stays with her through the birth of the child. And then Joseph has one of the most important moments on the scene. Joseph is the one who names Jesus, Jesus, just like he was told. And why is this so important? Because remember, in our theology, we say that Jesus is the Son of God and the Son of Man, right? But how is he the Son of Man? Well, we go back to today's Isaiah reading. The Messiah will be a descendant from the house of David. And there is Joseph, the righteous descendant from the house of David. And when Joseph takes Jesus and names Jesus, in that moment, the prophecy is fulfilled. Because by naming this child, not caring about bloodlines or anything else, it means that Joseph has fully adopted Jesus. Joseph takes Jesus as his child. And in Joseph's eyes, and in the Jewish law, and in the eyes of the entire community around him, Jesus is Joseph's son. Jesus' lineage is Joseph's lineage, without doubt or question or talk about bloodlines or grafting or kinda, sorta, or who's a full member. It's done. And Jesus is therefore the Son of Man. And the gift of heritage, this gift of fatherhood, will be shown again when Joseph later takes Jesus and Mary to Egypt to be safe from Herod's persecution of the innocents. But that story you'll have to come back for another time. We read the gospel this week because it actually prepares us for Christmas Eve, even with the dang spoiler in there. Jesus, Emmanuel, you know that's my favorite name for God out of all of them. God is with us. Emmanuel comes to you and to me in the midst of your joys and of your griefs, in the midst of presents and cooking and baking and pageant and parties and family arguments and everything else. Our gospel tells us once again that Jesus, Emmanuel, comes to heal us from that which takes us away from God, which is what we call sin. Jesus, Emmanuel, comes to gather us as one people so that we can see we are all equal, no matter what, in the eyes of our loving God. Jesus, Emmanuel, comes to restore us. And we've talked about restoration a lot this year. But Emmanuel comes to restore us to God's singular purpose, love. So perhaps we hear this spoiler alert in the gospel, as it is the message that we need as we go into this week. A reminder of why we are doing all that we are doing. A reminder that our state of mind, whether frantic or lonely, God comes to heal, to gather, to restore us, no matter our state of mind or our family or our heart. God, Emmanuel, comes to us all. And in turn, we are to seek the light of God and to use this season, to use our lives to heal and gather and restore our community to God's love. I wonder how all of our Christmas lists would be different. If we started by making a list to show, how am I going to heal and gather and restore those I care about this season? How am I going to share with them the love of God that I know because I know Emmanuel? This gospel we read this Sunday because it grounds us in our faith. And spoiler alert, the story of Jesus Emmanuel only gets better from here. Amen.